From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In Moscow today, tens of thousands of Russians demonstrated in solidarity against terrorism. At 5 p.m. local time, the crowd, gathered near the Kremlin, went silent in memory of those killed in a recent wave of terrorist attacks, including the siege at a school in the town of Beslan. Russian television aired a videotape today showing images from inside the school during the attack. It showed masked and heavily armed men and women standing guard over children in the school's gymnasium. Bombs hung from a basketball hoop and a wire stretched across the room.
There are some more details emerging of what the hostage takers and Russian authorities did last week while the school in Beslan was being held. Kim Murphy of the Los Angeles Times writes today about one step the Russians took. In Chechnya, the Russians themselves took hostages. Kim Murphy joins us now from Moscow. Who were the people the Russians detained?
Of course, the Russians didn't describe it as really taking hostages. They described it as putting these people into protective custody. What they ended up doing was, not very long after the hostages were seized in Beslan, they went very methodically and very rapidly across the Republic of Chechnya to the entire extended families of the primary rebel leaders in Chechnya. They picked them up at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, beat some of them, kicked some of them, put them in jeeps, put them in military trucks, and took them all to the Russian Army's Northern Caucasus Command Center at Khankala outside of Grozny, and held them there for about 2.5 days.
And then released them?
And then released them. As soon as the denouement was over in Beslan and it was clear that the whole thing was over, then they were released.
But you say, while there were hostages being held in Beslan, the entire extended families of the leading Chechen rebels were being held by Russian soldiers.
We're talking about former Chechen president Aslan Maskhadov, 67-year-old sister, his brother, 5-month-old babies, 7, 9, and 11-year-old kids, you know, cousins, pretty much everybody they could find.
The official explanation that you've quoted is that they were there in protective custody. Was there a suggestion that they were planning to swap people if need be?
Well, the people that I talked to who were among the detainees felt that that was definitely part of the plan, but they couldn't give me any evidence to prove that that's what the Russians had in mind. It's also possible that they just wanted to use this as a pressure tactic to make the hostage takers, whoever they were, release the hostages that they had.
Now, on to another matter. In addition to the story that you wrote about these Chechen detainees or hostages, there's another development. One surviving hostage taker from Beslan evidently says that inside the school building, after they seized it, there was a dispute among the hostage takers. Do I have that right?
Yes. Apparently, there was a group of hostage takers who all along were not comfortable with this idea of having taken over a school. And we heard that not only from this hostage taker who appeared on Russian national television last night, but from many of the hostages, that they said that there was one group that seemed to be, you know, much more sympathetic, much more compassionate. What this hostage taker apparently has said was that the leader of the hostage taker group eliminated the dissidents. This was a man and two women.
Now, apart from this one surviving hostage taker who has spoken, what's actually known about the people who perpetrated the takeover of the school?
Well, very little. It's thought that the leader of the group was a rebel from the neighboring Republic of Ingushetia, who is well known to Russian officials. And they think they know the nationalities of some of the others, that we've got Chechens, Ingushes, one guy from Kazakhstan, one Korean, one, ironically, from probably from North Ossetia. And at the beginning, the authorities announced that there were 10 Arabs and possibly a black African, but they seem to be backpedaling on that a little bit and are not really confirming or denying anything about that.
With Russians willing to accept much tougher homeland security as a result of this, and President Putin suggesting that's what he's going to provide, I wonder, considering that the Russian history of domestic security is so much tighter than anything we've known, even post 9/11 in this country, when one thinks back to the Soviet, certainly the Stalinist past. Are Russians expressing any enthusiasm for that sort of a return of control over society?
Well, the emotions are so inflamed right now that a lot of Russians would be willing to accept whatever it takes, assuming, of course, on their part, that a lot of the wrath of the government is going to be directed at Chechens and other residents of the Caucasus, who unfortunately already are living through exact Stalinist Russia. You know, they're stopped in subways, they're arrested on sight. There's already been a great deal of a crackdown over the last year or two anyway, and I think that Russians will accept more if necessary.
Kim Murphy, Moscow bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Surely.